Life and death are both very real. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time to live and a time to die. Time to rejoice and a time to mourn. And so as we have received this word, something like this causes us to reflect upon the significance of our life. It matters. It matters how we live, because we will all stand before Jesus one day. And so this is my prayer as we, I don't believe the Lord is saying change where we were headed this morning. What I believe the word for us in this moment is let it sensitize our hearts and reflect upon the significance of why we're here, why we worship, why we live, what it's about. I don't know how we could... I've never had this happen before. You get a word right in the midst of a worship service like this. Please do not hear me lowering the significance of what Gail is going through right now. But I think God could, you talk about something prophetic. God can use this as a prophetic word to this body in this moment. To say that's as real as it gets. That's as real as it gets. And that's why we gather. And that's why we do what we do as a church. That's why we worship. That's why we seek to reach people. Because eternity matters. Does it not bring you comfort this morning having the assurance that our brother is in the arms of Jesus? In the midst of the tears, remember that. That's our hope. In the midst of our sorrow, that's our hope. And folks, that's the message that we have to carry, because that's our reality. That's the reality of every soul that's outside these doors. That's why what we do here matters. And what we do out there matters. I believe this in its own right, somehow, hear God, hear the voice of the Spirit in this today. That's what I want to ask you to do. And I'm going to still have Wayne and Roberta and Dawn, and I'm going to share whatever time we have. Wow. What time went away. I'm going to have them share. Maybe I'll share what I'm going to share next week. Who knows? I think I could pick it up for another week. Think I'd have a problem with that? Nope. Who said that over there? I don't know if to take that as an insult or a blessing.
Hey, you threatened me with a test. I got text to prove it.
Praise God. All right. Wayne, Roberta, why don't you come on up and share what the Lord stirred in you? I know that's kind of a tough one to follow, but I believe, just trust God that it's timely. Yeah, and keep it held up. I'll turn mine off.
Just right here. Is our church thriving, or are we just surviving? That really hit me. You know what? And that spoke words right now. Are we thriving on Jesus, or are we just surviving? And that's And that came from Mary. You know, the whole conference was about passing the baton to the younger generation. And Pastor got this word from the Lord, I don't know, 2-3 months ago in his heart, that he wanted to pour into our younger generation. And this conference just kind of confirmed he's in the right, but it's just not him. It's our whole church that needs to pour into this younger generation, that it's in the music, it's in the, you know, what everything that we do in this church. And it's, we just got to pour into them and love them and give what we know to these kids, because they need to step up one day in our spots. And it's not just Dawn and Scott that, you know, the Lord has really worked on Scott on this. And we had so many sermons about even the younger 30-year-old pastors came up and how they started and where they started. And it was just their hearts, wow. I mean, they didn't even know they were going to be there, you know, as a pastor. They started it on the worship team. And the one thing, the one guy, I think his name was Chris, Pastor Rod's the only one that slapped him. Went up and slapped him and said, "Wake up, kid," you know. And he goes, "Has anybody ever had Pastor Rod hit you?" He goes, "Well, I have." But I just, what I got out of it is what Pastor Scott has been leading our whole church for this last 2 months and getting this group together. And I just think we all need to be there and help them. And we need to thrive.
And just adding into that, I mean, she's got the gist of it, really. But it was said that we need to be a training center for our young people. I mean, young people especially, because they have so many more years to be able to pass on what they learn. I mean, I've learned a lot in the last couple of years, but, you know, I'm at the other end of the run. You guys, you got it. But that is the main focus of the whole time we were there, is train your people. Get them ready for the next step. Don't wait, and then you're 80 years old, and you don't have anywhere to pass the baton to. You're just stuck, and you know what happens then? It dies, and nobody gets any benefit from it. You can't pass on what you don't have. So that's pretty much the gist of that conference.
Well, I'm going to start out first talking about the worship that we had down there. It was awesome. Pastor Larry had shared Psalms 27:4, and I want to read that to you guys. It says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And Pastor Larry was talking about how the young people, this generation, really longs to sit in the presence of God in his throne room. And that's really what I felt last year when God gave me that word, that we were to be a house of worship and prayer, that we're supposed to sit in his presence. And, you know, that didn't really come to my mind until we were at the conference and Pastor Larry was talking about this. And it was just like confirmation to me that that's what we're supposed to be doing. We just aren't supposed to come and just sing the songs on Sunday morning, but we're supposed to press into him and allow God to bring us deeper into him. Okay, now that's it. One of the big things that they emphasized at this conference was spiritual fathering or mothering. And like Roberta said, it was just confirmation for Scott and I, you know, to go and to hear all these messages on the spiritual parenting stuff, because that's really kind of what we were feeling before we went, that God was leading us to do that with these younger people in our church, to draw them closer to God and to help them in their walk. And it was just, the whole thing was just confirmation. So, you know, there wasn't really just one message that really just stood out to me, but it was the whole conference in general was confirmation for us that we're on the right track.
So we'll see what we can do in 15 minutes. How's that? Pastor Larry stirred me up because he could say more in 30 minutes than I could say in an hour and a half.
Amen, he did.
I'm telling you, he just right to the right into the point. So I'm going to pick up off some things that he shared related to what Wayne, Roberta, and Donna talked about, but I'm going to bring it a little more specific in terms of some of the principles that were stated. Pastor Larry began really focusing in Philemon. How many have recently read the book of Philemon? It's one chapter. Amen? Okay. And so I'm going to read verses 9 through 12 and just kind of share some of the principles with this, as well as another passage of just a few verses that he shared. And we'll see if I can get through that. And maybe I'll share something more. We'll see what the Lord has in mind after that, if there's time permitting. The passage says, "Yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love." Now, what this is referring to is the Apostle Paul is talking, and he's referring to a slave named Onesimus. And Philemon was actually the slave owner. Not that we promote slavery, but this was the context and this was the culture of what was happening. And Onesimus had actually ran as a slave and wound up in prison with the Apostle Paul. And so that's why Paul's saying, "Yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul." And I want you to see this phrase, "an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus." So Paul's in prison. He says, "That I appeal to you," and he's writing this to Philemon again, the slave owner. He says, "I appeal to you for," now listen to this phrase, "my son Onesimus." Now Onesimus's name means useful. That's what his name actually means, useful. And so Paul uses that context as he continues. He says, now listen to this, "who became my son while I was in chains." Now what's interesting is this is not a natural born son. What Paul's talking about is a spiritual son that he became. Onesimus became his spiritual son. So my understanding would be is that Onesimus, when he came in prison and met the Apostle Paul, did not know Christ Jesus. But through Paul, he came to know the Lord. And what's interesting with Paul in those kinds of situations, and I really think we need to take this to heart, this isn't just about leading someone to Jesus and saying, "Okay, go figure it out." No, he took the responsibility that if I led you into the place of new birth in Christ Jesus, you now become a child of God. But in the faith, since I was the one in the natural who led you, he became Paul's son in the faith while they were together in prison. Look at what verse 11 says about him. He says, "Formerly," now he's writing this to Philemon still, "formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me." That's, I don't know if you know that, but that describes you and me. Our name may not be Onesimus, but before we came into the family of God, we were useless to the things of God. Amen? But once you were born again, you became useful to God and to his people. You need to understand that. How many of you said, "Lord, use me, Lord, use me"? Right? I heard this said once. John Bevere said, "Do you know that God doesn't use anyone? Do you like being used by someone else?" No. God works through us. But in this sense, when he works through us, we are useful to his purposes. Amen? And so we become useful to the kingdom of God as children of God. And he says, now, Paul says, I am sending him, listen to this, who is my very heart, back to you. Onesimus became his son in prison. How many know when you have a child, your heart? How many of you remember when your children, if you have children, were born? I've heard so many people say something happened in that moment. Something changed inside of me. I can say that with the spiritual children. That's what Paul was saying. Because Paul never had natural children of his own. But when Onesimus came to the Lord in prison through Paul's ministry to him, something happens inside your heart. Or at least it should. We should never treat introducing people to Jesus Christ as just a duty or a task that we do. They need to be people who get our very heart. Not only do they get God's heart, they get our heart. And that's what he was saying here, and I'm saying him back to you now. Just know, Philemon, you've got a different man that's coming to you than the man that left. And so, the principles that Pastor Larry emphasized was, number one, God changes coincidences into connections. It may just seem like a coincidence that Onesimus and Paul showed up in prison together. Well, guess what? God's going to give you what I'm going to call holy coincidences. But they're actually divine connections. They aren't as much accidental as you think they are. And he says, I became a father. Pastor Larry said, the Holy Spirit is going to attract people to you that only you have the ability to impart into. Are you aware of that? Are you looking for that? Are you ready for that? Get ready, right? He emphasized pastors, and I'm just going to say spiritual fathers and mothers too, are not corporate executives, they are fathers. And I want to add something that Dr. Ron shared in another, just I'm going to insert it right there, in another message, because it really challenged me. It stirred me up. He said, rather than trying to build a ministry with people, build up people, and God will give you a ministry. We want our church to grow, right? Build up people. When we build up people, it leads to working together to do the ministry. People matter. I pray today you text, you call, you do something to encourage Gayla today, because she's grieving right now. See, that's loving people. That's not just saying, well, she's one of our church who make this church. No. She's family. He also said the process of turning spiritual babies into reproducing sons or daughters is not just about teaching, as Wayne mentioned, it's about training. He said churches have to become training centers of character. Succession flows out of a heart connection. That's something I do a fair amount of teaching. But I'll tell you, I was personally stirred up by that. Because that means training is not just what I do from up here. Training is when I come alongside and I say, let's walk through this together. This is really stirring in the heart of me for our church with what I shared with the vision things that I shared earlier a few weeks ago when I said that we need to, our teams need to come together. Our teams need to establish, you know, the building up of leaders and laborers, people, and the building and developing the processes in our church, structures and systems. I realize that that's very ministry sounding, is it not? And then, excuse me, plans, how we serve and how we sow. But what this really stirred in me is that as that happens, I as pastor want to come into those leader, into those teams with the leaders, and I want to come alongside of you, and I don't want to just teach you something, I want to train you. That's what the fivefold ministry is about. But I want to do it not just to do something, but I want to do it in relationship so that together we can do what God's called us to do, which is really just all of us building more relationships. Would you agree? So churches have to become training centers of character. Succession flows out of a heart connection. The next passage that Pastor Larry shared was 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12, and I've got that up there too. It says, "For you know," this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Thessalonian church, "for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." Here's the three words: encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And the emphasis Pastor Larry made was, if we are going to father or mother, sons and daughters, natural or spiritual, number one, it will involve encouraging them. And he said, what that means is that we need to be there for their big days. We need to be there to notice their accomplishments. That means everything. You know, you were a son and daughter once, or you are a son and daughter. How much did it affect you if mom and dad were there or mom and dad weren't there? I've heard stories of people, in full-grown men, strong football players, tears in their eyes, because their father showed up to that one big game. Hadn't been there before that, but showed up for that one game. I don't remember who it was, but I remember a story of a man that played like a wild man, had the most yards, the most touchdowns he'd had in his whole career, the day that his father showed up finally to one of his games. We need to be there for their big days, spiritually. I want to tell all you guys, some of you are in our life group right now. Some of you aren't. So this doesn't just apply to them. But I'm saying I want to be there for your big days, for your the successes, the accomplishments that you have. You matter to Dawn and me. That's why we started this group in the first place. It wasn't just to teach you all the stuff, and you know me, and we teach. But more than all of that, it's because we love you, and we want you to be victorious. We want you to be effective. We want you to know how to overcome. We want you to be prepared, because someday you're going to be sitting in our shoes. And will you be ready to pass the baton to the next generation? Lizzie and Morgan, you're already working with the youth. You already have the opportunity to do that. It's already in process. So, but we have to be able to, Wayne said it, we can't give away what we don't have. So Dawn and I want to keep coming alongside of you to help you grow because we're entrusting you to help others grow. It's about relationship. And that applies to everybody, honestly. Secondly, being a spiritual father and mother will involve comforting your sons and daughters. We want to be there on your bad days, not only your good days. When everything's fallen apart, when there's a loss in your family. Pastor Larry talked about his oldest son, Joel. His wife, Amy, she got cancer in the neck area. And as he said it, she just up and died. And I mean, and they were praying. I mean, this is a believing, healing, believing church. And he said for the next 10 days, he says, Joel, I'm going to be there to sleep. And he says, and I wasn't meaning he was coming to my house. I went to his house. He said, I walked with him through that for the next 2 years. And that was his natural son, of course. But we all go through stuff. Sorrow and pain and grief and loss. And I want to be there for the bad days as well as the good days. Dawn and I have had people that have been there on our bad days. I know how much that means to me. I am sure you know how much that means to you. But that's what's going to make the difference. If people out there can come in here and they know that we're going to celebrate, we're going to rejoice when they're rejoicing, and we're going to mourn when they're mourning, they want to be here. And then finally he said, and notice that's coming right out of this passage, encouraging, comforting, and now urging. We need to be there in their challenging days. When there's obstacles they're facing. When they don't know, can I take another step? Can I do this thing? I know God's called me here, but that mountain seems way too huge to overcome right now. And they need spiritual fathers and mothers that say, yes, you can, and I'm going to be there with you to see you through. Yes, you can. To urge you, to challenge you. Come on. I know you've got it in you. I know God's put it in you. You can do this. And then Pastor Larry gave a series of like 4 points on what fathering is about. And I'm just going to end with the fathering part. I wanted to really talk about the spiritual son part of it, the on the other side, but I don't have time this morning, so I'm just going to end with this part. He said, number one, fathering is about bandwidth. And if that, like, what's that mean? Well, bandwidth is you know, about, like, on the internet, how many of you remember having dial-up before high speed? How many know it just about drove you nuts how long you had to wait? Okay, that was because there was very low bandwidth on data transfer, okay? So the more bandwidth you have, the more data you can transfer, and the faster it can transfer, okay? So when he says fathering is about bandwidth, he says fathers need to see and train people to reach their full potential. How many know God's given some people one talent, some people two, and some people five, right? Well, part of being a spiritual father as mother is through the eyes of the Spirit seeing the potential in people that they don't even see they have in themselves. And that we need to call them up. We need to spur them on to do more, to be better than they themselves can be. And can I just say, they don't always like that. Poor Maria, she's actually here. I get to use an illustration why she's here today. She did not like it when I was teaching her how to back up when we were driving. I knew there was potential there that she says, I can't do this. I says, do it. And we did it. And we went over to Hastings Mutual parking lot. Thank God when it was empty. Praise you, Jesus. And she backed up. There's three rows and it's a long parking lot. And we backed and we backed and we backed. It was so funny because it was maybe a year or so later, she says, I'm so glad you made me do that. I can back up and don't have to worry about hitting anybody now. Okay? She had more bandwidth than she saw at the time. Amen? And I don't know how many times we've laughed about that together. But that's a spiritual principle too. How many know you can see more in others than they often can see in themselves? That's one of the reasons why we need spiritual fathers and mothers. Because they will push us beyond what we think we can do. And if you don't have anybody in your life to do that, even when the Holy Spirit is there, even when you hear from God, but sometimes you need that person that God has given in your life to urge you beyond what you think your capacity is. That's what people will help us stretch further than we'll stretch ourselves. And the other part is that spiritual fathers need to focus on those who have the potential to multiply. How many of you don't want just children, you want grandchildren? Amen? And so you want to focus on the people that say, yeah, not only do I want to grow, but I want to grow to the place where I'm a spiritual father or mother. And I want my spiritual father and mother to help me, because I don't know how to be a spiritual father and mother. And of course, they're saying, well, I ain't got it all figured out either. But the thing is, how many know they've done it a while longer than the generation following them has, and they have wisdom and experience that can be imparted into them if we will humble ourselves and let somebody else speak into our life. But if we get all puffed up and we get all proud and we don't need anybody to teach us, I've got this thing figured out, guess what? Then the Lord's going to have to humble you until you realize how much you thought you know, you really don't know, and then he's going to still love you anyway and still bring somebody into your life if you'll let them to train you how to be a spiritual father and mother someday. Amen? Then he said, fathering is about character. A father needs to walk alongside their sons and daughters, or mothers and daughters, however that's working, to show them how to change. How many know change is hard? How many know your cheese keeps getting moved? And how many of you are like Hawes and you don't want to leave the old cheese? Right? Will you let somebody else come into your life to say, come on, we need to go get the new cheese? See, that's one of the ways that we can do this and don't have to do it by ourselves, when we'll let somebody else do that with us. See, if we keep getting angry and ticked at people, how many of that? You know, that's what we see in this culture so much. Nobody wants anybody else to ever tell them what to do, to never challenge them beyond what they feel like doing. I've had more people get offended and ticked off at me, I'm just being honest, because I'm asking them to go further than they think they can go. And yet, as a spiritual father, I've got to take the risk of letting them get ticked and stretch them anyway and pray that God will work in their heart, because I see something they don't see. I'm asking you to give me some grace as your pastor. Believe it or not, whether you know it or not, I do see things in you that you don't always see in yourself. And I'm asking you to go further, yes, for your sake, but yes, for your brothers and sisters' sake, and for the sake of the people that God wants to reach through your life, because I know you've got the ability to go further and do more and multiply. The third thing is, fathering is about example. As fathers, we must live by example. What we observe impacts us far more than what we hear. Boy, do I feel challenged by that one. To live an exampled life. When I know I'm as frail and as flawed as any other human being. That's the biggest challenge, isn't it, of being a father and mother? Because you know your own flaws. And you know the challenge it is that I hate to pick on my dad. My mom used to get so mad at him because he would say, "Do as I say, not as I do." And my mom wanted to choke him. And he'd laugh about it nowadays because he knows. But I mean, that can't be how we do things. We can't say, "You do it this way," even though I do it this way. And if we are doing some of that, then that's the point where the Holy Spirit is dealing with us to say, guess what? Even as a spiritual father and mother, I need to grow. I need to change. I need to maybe appeal to my spiritual father and mother to help me. If you're older, do you still have a spiritual father and mother? Now, by the way, this is what's interesting about spiritual fathers and mothers versus natural fathers and mothers. A spiritual father and mother does not always have to be older than you. Now, I'm not saying that's a common thing, because time and life experience and seeking the Lord go hand in hand. But there are situations where, you know, you may come to the Lord later in life. And so there may be someone even close to your own age that is imparting into you. So, and as long as we understand it's about spiritual, it's not about one being better, one being smarter, one being more valuable, then you've missed it altogether then. Because it's really about relationship and walking with the Lord. And then finally, fathering is about listening. Time releases the fears and dreams of a son or daughter. Both their fears and their dreams will surface over the course of time. And Pastor Larry said, do not always give them constant direction. How hard is that as a parent? You just like, just do this. Now, you may know that's the best thing to do, but how many, let's look at this in two different ways. How many of you as children received it well when your parents did it that way? Not typically, right? It's like, And how many of your children respond well when you try to do it that way? And so the emphasis is bring them in the process. Ask them questions. Well, I think I ought to, I'm thinking this is where God's leading me to this school. What brought you to that conclusion? You know, what is it about that school that really caused you to just think, yes, this is where God wants me? You know, what's the process that, you know, you'll be able to walk through in order to cover the finances? What about financial aid, or will you not do that? I mean, I'm just using this as an illustration, because a lot of times the spiritual sons or daughters, let's just be honest, the younger we are, the bigger our dreams seem to be. Because nothing seems impossible, right? Until we get there. And that's what a spiritual father and mother, rather than say, "That'll never work. I tried that. Why would you even think that way?" Yeah, they're going to be really happy with us. But if we start asking questions that they never thought of, then they can go, oh, and you can give them a little time, and you can let them go process. And I have found that when I handle it that way, it's amazing. Eventually, they kind of work their way back and say, "What do you think about this?" It's much more effective. Somebody's laughing over here. Bless her heart. So, that's where I'm going to just kind of land the plane this morning. Where does God have you? Where are you if you're, I'm going to, barring the youth right now, but if you're 35 years or older, or close, you've got a bit of life experience. Hopefully you're growing in your devotion with the Lord and walk with the Lord, and you've gained some wisdom and maturity. Who is God saying, I want this to be your Onesimus? Who seems like a coincidence, but they're actually a connection in your life? Are you looking around, looking for those people? They need you, and God wants to line you up together so that you can impart into their life. And if you are an Onesimus, do you have enough humility to let somebody else speak into your life? You know, the best definition I heard of humility I heard in college is humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Your value doesn't diminish because you let somebody else speak into your life. You just humble yourself so that your character can be refined and you're not so proud to think, I don't need anybody. I can do it by myself. Good luck with that. I don't know too many successful people who tried it that way and made it. You have to let someone else speak into your life. And guess what? They're not going to be perfect. They're not always going to do it the same way you would do it. Their personality may even be a little bit different. But if that's the person God assigns to you, then you better let them be the sandpaper that rubs off the rough edges in your life that God wants to smooth out. And chances are they are going to be different than you because you need somebody different than you to smooth out those rough places. Amen? So who's your spiritual father or spiritual mother or both? Who's your spiritual son or daughter? Can I tell you this? I think this is every bit as much to do with the get ready God's calling us to as anything else we're doing. If you can't answer that question, that may be a part of the process for you getting ready, because it's about people, building up people. And if we'll build up people, if each of us will build up people as a church, guess what? God will give us more ministry. If we're faithful with the little He gives us, He'll entrust us with more. I believe that's why God keeps saying, get ready. He wants to be able for us to handle what He gives us now, because He wants to give us more later. But we got to make it about people. Amen? Let's pray for people. So Judy, thank you for being willing. Apparently it didn't work out the way I thought it was this morning as far as the more songs. But let's do Exalt Thee. Let's do I Exalt Thee at the end here. I just want to enter back into worship, focusing on the Father. He's the ultimate spiritual Father, amen? And as we worship today, as you say, Lord, I exalt you, let Him speak to us this morning. Don't walk out of here going, well, that was a good message, Pastor. whether you think it is or not. What I want you, I want to ask you to not walk out of here this morning without coming face to face with your Heavenly Father to say, Father, how do you want to teach me? How do you want to train me to be a father or a mother myself? How do you want to train me to be a good son or daughter? For some of us, we need to do both. And let's walk out of here today with a sense that God is leading us to a greater depth of both. Because that's what I believe He wants to impart into us as a church. Amen? So that's what I'm going to leave you with today. As we sing this song, press in. And yes, Jason's going to thank you, Jason. Okay, our grand total for this year for our missions giving is $9,650. Amen? All right, praise God. So that's exciting. And we're going to continue to help people to go as we give. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and worship together. And as we finish the song, that will be the close of the service this morning.